There was a sickly widow who relied on her two sons for her financial support. One of her sons sold umbrellas. And so every morning when she would wake up, the story goes, she would look outside, and if it was sunny and bright, she would be miserable all day, realizing that her son probably would not sell any umbrellas that day. Her other son sold fans. So every morning when it looked like rain, she would get depressed about that because most people don't buy fans on cool, rainy days. No matter what the weather was, you see, the widow had something to fret about. While commiserating with a friend one day, the friend remarked, "Perk up, you've got it made. If the sun is shining, people will buy fans. If it rains, they'll buy umbrellas. All you have to do is change your attitude. You can't lose." And with that simple, when that simple thought sank in, the widow lived happily ever after. The point is perspective. Perspective. As Christians, or when we become Christians, God wants our perspective to change. If you will, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And I think we'll see in the first four verses a new perspective for Christians. Some things where we're to find our focus. Things upon which we should choose to dwell. Colossians 3 verse 1, for example. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." So seeking things above is our new perspective. But that has many implications, as we'll see in these four verses. Notice, first of all, that seeking things above will determine where you invest your effort. And it's underscored by those words, "seek those things which are above," or "set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Set your heart on heaven. Seek those things that are above. I like the way this explanation has been given. Suppose you're building a magnificent house. It's your dream home. It's something you've been saving for, and now it's finally being built. And as it is being built, in order to save money, you live in a one-room apartment. Let me ask you something. As you live in that one small, cheap, one-room apartment, are you going to spend a lot of money fixing up that apartment? Are you going to buy new furniture for it? Are you going to buy expensive antiques to furnish it? Are you going to hire experienced decorators to decorate that cheap one-room apartment? I don't think so. Because your focus is on building that dream home. And you realize that you're only going to live temporarily in that small one-room apartment. You're looking forward to living in that dream home. We need to recognize that we live in a temporary world. 1 John 2:17, "The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." You see, it's a new perspective that we gain as Christians. Where is our home? It's our eternal home in heaven. So we're only here temporarily, but our focus is to be there. So seeking things above emphasizes the value of the spiritual and the eternal. Paul had this perspective, 2 Corinthians 4:18. "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, seeking things above determines where we invest our effort, in eternal things, not temporary material things. But seeking things above, secondly, determines how we direct our minds. Look with me to verse 2. "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What do we think about day in, day out? How many times are our thoughts directed toward ultimate eternal issues? Our new perspective as Christians is that we set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Here's a passage in contrast. in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. These enemies of the cross of Christ. And they're given many descriptions in these two verses here. But notice they set their mind on earthly things. They don't think about spiritual things. And so they're enemies of the cross of Christ. But the next verse says, in contrast, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our perspective is different, he's teaching. Our home, our citizenship is in heaven. And so we behave as heaven's citizens while we're here on earth. But that's a totally different perspective. It has everything to do with how we direct our minds. It's so easy to become preoccupied with the things of the world. I love this passage in the book of Psalms. It's a prayer that we should pray as well. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. The psalmist is praying, asking for God's help to fix his attention on what is good and lasting and to turn away his attention from those things that are temporary and worthless. And our prayer should be the same. That God help us direct our minds on those eternal things above all. And when we set our mind on things above, we're going to think about our Heavenly Father, about His will for our lives. We're going to think often about the price that was paid for us so we could have salvation. We're going to think about things of the Spirit. We're going to think about growing in our relationship with God. We're going to think about growing spiritually. And we're going to look at our time here on earth as an opportunity to serve God. But notice a literal translation of this passage, Colossians 3, verse 2. Habitually set your mind, your attention on things above, not on things of the earth. Make it a habit that we look at earth from heaven's point of view. Our feet must be on earth, yes, but our minds must be in heaven. And what that means is that the practical, everyday affairs of life get their direction from Christ in heaven. Again, we look at earth from heaven's point of view. And we think and act in relation to that. So seeking things above from that perspective determines how we direct our minds. Thirdly, it also determines where we find our identity. Look at verse 3 with me. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you died, he says to these Christians. What does he mean? Well, they died to sin. Paul talks about this in Romans. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You died. You were buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And dead also denotes the relationship of the Christian to the world. Listen to the Amplified Version of Colossians 3, verse 3. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. Your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. Years ago, there's a man by the name of Augustine that made a decision to live for Christ. And he was walking down the street in Milan, Italy. And he ran into a woman that in the past he had known most intimately and immorally. And she called out to him, but he wouldn't answer. He just kept right on walking. And she called out again, Augustine, it is I. And his response was, yes, but it is no longer I. You see, he had changed. He had died, if you will. Even so, when we become Christians, we die to ourselves. We die to sin. I love the words written by T.O. Chisholm. music by L.O. Sanderson entitled A New Creature or Buried with Christ. It goes like this: buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me, there is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. Dead to the world, alive to Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For you died, he says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's where we find our identity now, in Christ. In fact, the goal or objective of the Christian life is to live Christ. I like this statement. Life is what you are alive to. Life is what you are alive to. What makes you live? What gets your blood going? What gets you enthusiastic? For some, it may be some football team. For a little child, it may be something as simple as a new toy or an ice cream cone. As a teenager, it may be a specific car or a new cell phone. Life is what you are alive to. Let's ask Paul. Paul, what are you alive to? What is life all about to you? He answers like this: for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's where he found his identity. For me to live is Christ. Christ was Paul's life. He was alive to anything that related to Christ. And that should be our perspective as well. For to me to live is Christ. In fact, in the next verse, verse 4, Paul will say Christ is our life. But as we look at this, notice also that seeking things above will determine where we place our hope. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, Paul is giving also this new perspective of looking forward to something. When Christ appears, you will appear with him in glory. I read this past week about a lady that sat often and looked out her window, and she was doing so this one bright spring day. And she noticed in a rose bush outside her window, there was a little bird that had begun making a nest there in the rose bush. And she thought to herself, "Oh, you pretty little creature, you're building too low. Soon the destroyer will come and break up your sweet home." And she would look from day to day and watch as, yes, that bird built that nest. And pretty soon there were eggs in that nest. And then the eggs opened, and there were these four little mouths that would open wide when the mother bird would come back with food for her young. But one day the lady was sitting by her window sewing, and suddenly she heard the cry of the birds in deep distress. And she observed all too late that a snake had gotten up and had eaten those small little birds. It was just a sad reminder of her folly, of the bird's folly in building so near the ground. Here's the application. So it is with people who have no higher ambition than earthly pleasures, earthly wealth, earthly honors. They build too low. They build too low. 2 Peter 3 verse 10 says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So if we've been building our lives on things of this earth, we're building too low, because the things of the earth will be destroyed. But those who have lived for Christ, who have this new perspective, that are looking for Christ, they will appear with Him in glory. Listen to 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And there's that longing to see Him as He is. And that's what will happen when Jesus comes again. Charles Gabriel, in thinking of these thoughts, wrote, "When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me." So I encourage us to have that new perspective as Christians, to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Notice Paul begins that passage, Colossians 3, verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ." And it's a reference again to their baptism. We don't have to theorize about when we are raised with Christ. Colossians 2, just a few verses prior to this, he said, "We're buried with Him in baptism. We're raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses." We die to sin when we're baptized into Christ. Our sins are washed away. We're forgiven. We're raised to walk in newness of life. Part of that newness of life is that new perspective, that we now seek those things which are above. And when, even as Christians, we get sidetracked, when we allow worldly things to grab our attention, we repent of that, we ask forgiveness, and then we renew our focus to seeking those things which are above. Back in the days of sailing ships, there was a young sailor who went to sea for the first time. And the ship encountered a terrible storm. And this young sailor was instructed to go up and trim the sails. The young sailor started to climb up, but he made a mistake. And he looked down. You can imagine what he saw. The waves, the tossing of the boat. And the young man, looking down, started to lose his balance. An older sailor underneath him shouted, "Look up, son, look up." And when he did, he regained his balance. In like manner, we can lose our spiritual balance if we take our eyes off of the Lord and off of the goal of heaven, when we don't seek those things which are above, and we focus on those things which are beneath, worldly things. But with this same instruction, we can learn this lesson. If we'll just look up, we will maintain our spiritual balance. We'll be equipped to endure the storms of life until we reach our heavenly home. May I encourage us to look up, to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Where's your focus been? Perhaps it's your desire to make that focus to live for Christ, to seek those things which are above. If so, you need to die first. You need to be crucified with Christ. You need to die to sin. Die to sin in repentance, to the practice of it, and then by faith be buried with Him in baptism, where you'll die to the dominion of sin. Be raised to walk in newness of life. Do you need to respond in obedience to the gospel? Do you need to ask for the prayers of the church that God will help you, help all of us, renew our focus to set our mind on things above? May I encourage us, look up. Look up to God and through your trust and obedience. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ this morning, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?